We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Me, Johnny, or am I like on mute right now? Can you hear me?
I hear you.
We are working this on the fly, ladies and germs. Welcome to the Butting Heads podcast, part of Ramstuck Radio and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Steve Ribeiro. Here's always with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, we got a I'm gonna try and fix my microphone while we're talking, but a big news day for the Rams. They signed a cornerback. For those keeping track at home, they've signed three players in the secondary this offseason. How we doing, man? This is exciting stuff.
I mean, honestly, it was quite possibly one of the better news that can come out for the remainder of the offseason. So this comes at a good time considering that our best player just retired. So
I just like looking at this, man. I was like, I would feel so fucking good about the defense if 99 was still there.
Oh, no question. I mean, if 99 was still there, you're easily looking at, being a contender for the playoffs. And without him, it's like...
Well, with him, you're a contender for the Super Bowl, I feel like. Without him, you're... They're still a playoff contender.
Yeah,
don't be too dramatic here.
Is it though? I mean, it is going to be a big transition.
I think it's a little because the offense on paper is so good, you know.
That's true.
They're firmly, I would say, a favorite to make the playoffs right now. I don't know if there's seven teams better than them in the NFC.
No, and that's a good point. You know, the NFC didn't get a ton better, if you ask me.
Nope. And, well, hey, so the news of the day, if you clicked on the podcast, you already know. The Rams signed Tre'Davious White, cornerback from the Buffalo Bills, formerly played his whole career there, was the first-round pick in 2017, two-time All-Pro, first team in 2019, second team in 2020, really came into his own those couple of years, was a staple of that Buffalo defense. Since 2020, he played a good bit of the season in 2021, tore his ACL in about November, and from there he took quite a bit to come back from that injury. I don't think he came back until like the following November from that torn ACL. He really took his time with it. He was noted in saying that he really struggled with being injured because he'd never really been injured like that before. So he took his time with it, came back, played the rest of 2022. So it was six games that year plus two playoff games. Comes back ready to go 2023 and tears his Achilles in the fourth game of the season. And so it was a rough turn of events for him. He was a cap casualty of the Bills in 23, as noted, if you've been paying attention. They got really just trapped in cap hell this year. They don't want to be the Rams. You know, they got to spend their money wisely. But here we are. Tre'Davious White, he comes to the Rams on a one-year, $8.5 million deal with up to $10 million in incentives. For a guy of his caliber, the reason he's coming that cheap and on a one-year deal is basically been out for the better part of 2-3 years. But, Johnny, I think this is a guy who's been on your list all offseason. He visited with the Rams last week. We knew this was in play. How do you feel knowing, sitting here, that it actually came into fruition?
I mean, it's amazing because this is a guy that, I mean, obviously, other than the past couple of years due to the injury, he's kind of, fell out of favoritism. But before all the injuries, this was a guy that every team would have loved to have on their roster. And, you know, now we get him at a very affordable contract. And even if this doesn't work out, what do you really lose? You lose a season with a struggling veteran. It's a prove-it contract for a reason. And hopefully the idea is that he plays so well that the Rams are going to throw a bigger contract at him and that he can be our cornerback for a little bit longer. So I think this is a very good investment and certainly a guy that has the potential of being that dog that you've been looking for since Jalen Ramsey left. So I love this signing. It's a very low risk, high reward type of signing here. I honestly don't see a bad thing about it. I mean, it is, I suppose, a risk in a sense that you don't know what Tre'Davious White you're getting. But at the same time, it's like if you get even half of the guy that you got during his prime years with Buffalo, that's a big signing for potentially $10 million, you know?
And there's not really anybody out there at this price at any position of need with the upside you can get from Tre'Davious White. Like you said, he at his best, which wasn't that long ago, and I mean he's still relatively young, right? How old is he? He's 29. Okay. So he's not old. Let's put it that way. You have a chance to get one of the better cornerbacks in football if he can just come back and be who he is. That's a big if. And that's why you're getting him in a one-year deal. You know, it's like I just said, they're $8.5 million for 1 year. That's kind of, it's probably the rest of their meaningful cap space. You know, I don't have it in front of me. I think on the last pod, that's what we speculated would have been around what they have left. They definitely still have money to get guys like how they went out and got Akella Witherspoon and DeMarcus Robinson and John Johnson later in the offseason. You know, those vets on very cheap deals are going to be available. But as far as like name brand guys with really high upside, I don't really, there's nothing out there that I would have rather had than this at this point in free agency. And what I love about the deal is it doesn't hamper them if a cornerback falls to them at 19 or if they want to go cornerback in the second round. You don't have a long-term commitment. Like you said, he might play himself off the team if he plays really well. Like, they could go give him a bag, or he's going to be too expensive and we can't afford him. It really gives you a lot of functionality in this draft, where before this move, I would have said they have to draft a cornerback on day one or two. Now that you've made this move, if guys at other positions of need, like if your first two picks, you go edge rusher and D tackle, or maybe even tackle, offensive tackle and edge rusher, you can get away, you can still compete in 2024. And, you know, I don't know without Aaron Donald if the goal is a Super Bowl, but the goal is certainly to be competitive in the season and get to the playoffs and then give yourself a chance. And this guy gives you a chance. If he got this back, you now have Tre'Davious White, and Darius Williams as your top two cornerbacks going into the season. Whereas last year it was it was Kobe Durant, Darian Kendrick, who were still on the team, and Akella Witherspoon. You know, it's just night and day looking at this secondary versus where we were going into last year. And without Aaron Donald to be that pass rusher that he is, and elevate the rest of the pass rushers, I think this move kind of signals I'd be pretty shocked if they don't come away with one of their first two picks was an edge rusher. That would be pretty surprising to me, but you're bolstering up the secondary to where this is not an elite secondary by any means, but Darius Williams, Cam Curl, Tre'Davious White, these guys are good NFL players. They can compete at the highest level well, whereas we pretty much went into last season with one guy in Jordan Fuller who we knew could do that. This feels good. I really like the direction they went in with this defense in this offseason. You know, still a little concerned that there's not another edge rusher in the building, but the way they spent their money, this is a really I just hats off to them, man. I like what they've done.
Yeah, and honestly, I still wouldn't put cornerback off the list of first round guys. You know, if the Rams decide to keep their first round pick, which believe it or not, with this signing, you kind of can actually now trade down if they so choose. And we know Les Snead. This is a man that, you know, if he even gets a whiff of a team that's willing to trade down or trade up for the 19th overall pick, he's gonna trade down. So I think this gives them this kind of, you know, leniency to do this type of thing, because now it's not as imperative to get, you know, a top tier corner at, you know, pick 19. And, you know, you can, there's still obviously needs. You still need to add an edge rusher. You still need to add a defensive lineman. Dare I say inside linebacker? I would absolutely love to see that.
Maybe not that high, but yeah, I would love for them to add one.
Well, maybe not 19th overall, but I wouldn't oppose them taking an inside linebacker in the third round.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't either. And, you know, we'll talk about that later with the Ernest Jones lack of extension. But, yeah, they could still easily go cornerback at 19 if they wanted to. We know Darius Williams can play inside. You know, he's not a strictly outside cornerback. That piece gives you nice flexibility. And if White could stay healthy, man, and it's obviously an if, and that's why he's available at this price, that's a nice cornerback tandem. We like Quentin Lake as a nickel corner to an extent. I feel a lot better than I did yesterday, and it really now I think, just I don't want to sound like a broken record, but like it opens up so many things for you in the draft. Where like if you don't have a guy like Tre'Davious White and you want to compete in 2024 without Aaron Donald, especially. Like, you would have had to go cornerback pretty high. Like, there's just no other option, and now you have some optionality.
It absolutely makes the draft that much more fun moving forward. And if Snead, again, likes to go and trade down, I feel a little better about it now, you know, because mm-hmm. you would get more draft capital, and you can fill more needs. You know, you may not get the sexier name out of it all, but at the same time, if you're addressing more needs here, and we've seen what, you know, Snead can do with, you know, lower round picks, why not?
Why not, man? This is great. I'm happy. Look at that. Talk a little bit about the secondary as a whole in a second, but before we get to that, guys, football season may be over, but the action on the basketball floor has been heating up. Tournaments going into the Sweet 16, my Marquette Golden Eagles still alive. NBA playoffs are coming down to the wire with home court advantage and who's going for it. There's no shortage of high-stakes basketball, and if you want to get in on the excitement of those games, head to Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. You can tune in, turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. So you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Now, when you're playing Prize Picks, it's just you against the lines. You're going to get a couple lines. You're going to pick more or less. You're going to parlay those together. And if they all hit, you're going to win. So download the app today and use the code RAMSTALK for a first deposit match up to $100. So if you put in $100, you get $200 in Prize Picks bucks to play with. Pick less, pick more. It's that easy. Promo code RAMSTALK. That's Prize Picks. We're going to throw it to another sponsor quick here, and then we'll get you back to butting heads.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so where do I want to go next? The secondary is, you know, we'll see if they add another cornerback. And I think, like, I'd still be shocked if they don't add. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't take a cornerback till day three, but, like, they got to throw a dart on a guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the interesting thing about the cornerback draft class is it's very top loaded. You know, you got some quality guys in, like, the first, I would say rounds 1 through 3. And then beyond that, it's like, eesh, I know you're kind of throwing darts anyway at day three, but I mean, at least in the fourth round, you could kind of see a guy that might be able to pan out. And it's not a big shock, but I think when you go into rounds four, it's not as common as in other drafts. So it is a semi-deep draft at the top in days one and two. But beyond that, it's a bit bare, if you ask me personally.
Yeah, I think second round hopefully will be their sweet spot at cornerback, because they've been trying to find one in the fourth round.
That's true.
They're not doing a good job. Not to their fault. They've drafted a lot of upside guys who haven't panned out. That happens. It's day three of the draft. It's a crapshoot. I wouldn't rule out a cornerback at 19, but this kind of would make me more surprised. I think they will go interior. Hopefully on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not ruling out on the offensive side of the ball, but I think one of those unsexy in defensive line, or maybe, dare I say, offensive line, is probably the direction they go at 19. Or trade back. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it just screams, you know, less need. But I have to say, though, Steve, I'm a little bit nervous that being the kind of mad scientist that Les Snead is as a general manager, and obviously Sean McVay is kind of whispering in his ear as well, it's a bit unnerving seeing how yet another interview with the wide receiver
I know, man,
was just unleashed in Ricky Parasol. To be fair, this is a lot more, he's a lot more obtainable than Romo Dunze, who they don't have a prayer in hell in getting unless they trade like well in the top 10. And it'd be sweet, but it would piss me off at the same time. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you just know that there's going to be that one pick where it's going to leave you head scratching, and you hope and pray that it'll end up working to our benefit in the long run. But sometimes you just gotta, you just never will understand the pick.
Yeah. And I think, like, with Donald retiring, if they do go kind of out of pocket and go receiver pretty high, I wouldn't be as annoyed about it, just because, like, you're making moves right now to try and win a Super Bowl, obviously, and while you have Matthew Stafford under center. But this would have been a contract year for Aaron Donald, still in his prime, and that tightens the window to me a bit, where, like, you should be making moves to put your chips in and win a title if he was here. But he's not here. You should still be trying to win the championship, obviously, but your odds go down without him. We have to look in the mirror and realize that, like, 2025 may be their real path now, which I know people on Twitter have been pointing out for a while. Things got expedited because of the last season and the surprise success they had. But without Donald, that tails back a little bit. And so, you know, if you see a guy you love at 19 at receiver that you think can be Cooper Kupp's successor, he hasn't been restructured yet. You know, maybe they're not certain how that goes. I don't want them to do it. I'm not advocating. I don't want that at all. But, like, where there's smoke, there's fire, man. You know, they're probably drafting receiver on day one or day two.
This might not be a take that many are going to love to hear about. And I'm one of those people that aren't going to love to hear about wide receiver. But you can't ignore the fact that they're interviewing, you know, draft pick wide receivers. You can't ignore it, you know? And seeing draft history with Les Snead, he loves targeting these random picks. I mean, the evidence just suggests that even though we might be screaming and hollering for an edge rusher or an interior defensive lineman, they may go wide receiver. They may go running back. Oh God, I hope they don't go running back.
No, they're not going running back. So here's my worry about running back is that I haven't done the research here, but people, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a very weak running back class, right?
Very weak.
So I'm nervous that, like, one of the top two or three guys will be on the board for the third round because teams just aren't drafting them. And then they're going to be like, well, we could get our number one running back on the board in the third. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they draft a running back every year, so they're going to draft one, but hopefully it's not till day three. I just, like, yeah, you'd rather take shots on positions in need. Like, if they, I would like them to go edge rusher at 19, unless all the edge rushers go before that. But if you don't do that, like, you got to take a flyer on somebody on day two. You can't go out of the first few days of draft without drafting an edge rusher. You did it last year with Byron Young, took a gamble in the third round, paid off dividends. Now he needs somebody to play alongside of him, especially without Aaron Donald out. That's number one on the board. I think all of these other positions we're talking about, defensive line, offensive tackle, inside linebacker, cornerback, safety, yes, less even receiver. You don't need to walk away with one of those on day one or two, in my opinion. But you have to get an edge rusher at some point in those picks.
Yeah, you definitely think so. But I don't put anything past Les Snead. I really don't.
Yeah, we'll dive into some deeper draft talk in the coming weeks. You mentioned inside linebacker before, Johnny. The Rams they mentioned that they don't anticipate an extension to happen for Ernest Jones before the season. He's in a contract year. You still have the flexibility to franchise him after the season. So, you know, and I think this is the first guy in quite some time that feels like an actual franchise tag candidate, right? Like, when's the last time somebody actually was, like, in consideration for the tag? I don't even remember.
It's been quite some time. I think Jermaine Johnson would be the last one, right?
Joyner was definitely the last one, I think. But
oh, that's right. I always forget about Joyner.
Yeah, I don't think since him there's really even been a guy in serious contention to get the franchise tag. Sammy Watkins was after Joyner. God, we are straying too far from the light. But, you know, not really. Ernest Jones has tweeted a sunglasses emoji, posted a picture on his Instagram story, just said bet, for the old folks at home. That means he's like, all right, sure. That might not even be what it means in today's day and age. this seems like the right move for the moment, but I'm going to be bummed if they don't re-sign him. We got to keep that guy.
I do think that the plan is to re-sign him at some point. Maybe not right this second, and I kind of agree that might be the best course of action right now, is not to necessarily focus on signing him right this second, because I think in essence you do have to monitor how he does in, you know, towards the last part of his rookie contract, because, you know, while there is a lot to love about Ernest Jones, it's not like he's perfect either. So that is something to keep in mind, that he's definitely a guy you want to bring back, but do you want to break the bank for him? We'll have to see, you know?
Well, here's a, not a counterpoint, but I don't, correct me if I said this on the last spot. I don't think I did. Without Aaron Donald, he's been here the longest on this defense. And I think some semblance of continuity, especially with leaders on the team, is important. And without Donald, Ernest Jones is your defensive captain. He's the man in the middle. He's arguably the best player on this defense. You know, you can make a case for Kobe. You can maybe make a case for Tre'Davious White if he's healthy, but Ernest Jones is the heart and soul of this defense. And I agree, you don't want to overpay him. We'll see what other teams give him, but I don't really think this is like the Corey Littleton situation. Like, A, this guy is a stud. He's not perfect, as you said, but he's a stud. He's a leader. The teammates love him. The coaches love him. And he's provides you with continuity that you otherwise don't really have. I think it's if assuming he doesn't massively regress, keeping him should be their number one priority after the season. And we'll see. And I think they will. Les Nietzsche got a lot of bad extensions, so I'm not upset about not being extended, but we'll have to talk about it again in a year.
Yeah, for sure. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if during the middle of the season, especially if Ernest Jones is kicking ass like we all expect him to, that Les Snead, you know, revisits the contract extension talks and, you know, signs them before the off season. I wouldn't be surprised at all, but we'll see. Heck, maybe Snead changes his mind and, you know, decides to do this right before the start of the season. It's happened before.
Yeah, it definitely can. That franchise tag, I think, will definitely be on the table. I'm interested to see how that plays out. What else we got? They re-signed Laryl Murchison.
Yeah.
So we got our edge rusher.
Well, he's
not even an edge rusher.
No, he's a defensive lineman. But it needed to be done because, if I'm not mistaken, we lost Jonah Williams.
Yes, we did. Yeah, so good depth piece.
Yeah, so we definitely needed depth. And it's kind of why, like, I don't really – I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams stay at pick 19 that they pick an interior defensive lineman. Because I think it was a position that they were probably going to address even if Aaron Donald stood on the team. Maybe not this early, but they probably were going to address it at some point.
Yeah, it wouldn't upset me if they went there at 19. I really hope edge, defensive tackle, you take and throw cornerback in there. I would like them, those are your top three positions, you take best player available at that pick. If you don't like any of the guys, you trade back. If there's an offensive lineman, I guess it would just be tackle now because our interior is locked up, that you are, like, in love with, that's there at 19. Sure. What'd you say?
There'll be plenty of options at pick 19.
Yeah. And sealing up corner to an extent makes me feel a lot better about where they can go there. Because, like, you can't have a dog shit secondary and a dog shit pass rush. And they've shored up the secondary. They got to shore up the pass rush. You know, I love Kobe Turner. I love Byron Young. They are not enough alone to make that a formidable unit. So, but hey, they, like I said last week or 2 weeks ago or whatever, they made one move this offseason that I didn't like, and I've liked everything else. I really like Tre'Davious White. And in the spirit of peak offseason topics, Johnny, Les Snead said that they anticipate Stetson Bennett being at OTAs. Our last year's, excuse me, Les pick, Stetson Bennett in the fourth round. He's going to be back on the team, so they say.
Well, I think that this is fine. I think in the end of it all, considering that both sides are happy with each other, that he's a good third option behind Jimmy G. And, yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world to see that he's, back. You know, I hope everything's okay with him and all whatever private matters that he had is all squared away. But, yeah, at least now we have a third string quarterback that isn't like a dresser win.
I'm not sure who's better.
I don't either.
I think Stetson Bennett's better. That was a little dramatic. But Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is suspended for the first two games of the season, so we need a third quarterback no matter what. So the best case scenario is just to get Bennett back and see if you have anything. Unless whatever was going on with him was drastically affecting his performance last preseason, I would say we probably don't have anything there, but we'll see. We'll see. He's pushing 30, so he's got some time.
Yeah.
Want to talk about the new kickoff rule before we go?
I had a feeling this was going to come up, because how could it not?
Well, this is the biggest rule change they've made in years, right?
Yeah, and I don't hate it.
I don't either. For those who aren't aware of this, the NFL passed in a pretty historic rule change. They're adopting a similar model to kickoffs that the XFL was using. It's going to be easier to just look up what it looks like. Just look up an XFL kickoff. But basically, 10 players on the kicking team and 9 or 10 players on the receiving team line up 5 yards apart at, I think, the receiving team's 35 or 40 yard line. I don't remember exactly where. They can't run at each other until the ball gets kicked. So the reason for that is you're making it a safer kickoff so that guys aren't just colliding with each other full speed. And that's to prevent concussions, because this is the play where the most concussions happen. And then I think touchbacks go to like the 30. And you could have one or two returners that the kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. Kick that goes short of that or goes out of bounds will be started at the 40-yard line. That's it. Look, I think this is something that when you see it, looks pretty nonsensical. But last year, nobody was returning kicks. It was like the lowest kick return rate in NFL history, and apparently the stats of like concussions were down because nobody was returning kicks, but concussions per return kick were the same percentage. So like it wasn't making it safer. It was just making it like a ceremonial play. So I am down to try fucking anything. And I like that they kind of got weird with it and are doing a radically different rule here. No more surprise onside kicks is probably the only, like, the biggest thing that this loses, but you gotta do something.
I disagree with, to be honest.
That there's no surprise onside kicks?
Yeah, like, I know the reason being is because...
Well, there's no way to do it in the setup.
Yeah, but that's the only thing that kind of sucks about it, because I do think that the surprise onside kick is one of the coolest things in, you know, special teams, if you ask me.
You won't get an argument from me, but it happens like 3 times a year. So it's, you're not wrong, but we're losing like 3 plays.
If you ask me, the biggest travesty in the rule changes is the hip tackle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the hip tackle also banned. Dude, I just like feel like it's going to be such a mess trying to enforce that. Like, what's exactly a hip tackle? What isn't? The players' union, the rule got passed unanimously by the competition committee, but the players' union was like actively against implementing the rule, and they're the guys getting hurt. So, like, when they come out with that, it's kind of like, How do you not listen to them? They're the guys who are getting hurt. We're not getting hurt. I don't know if they said anything about the kickoffs, but like that seems like everyone would benefit from it, because where are we going with it now? But yeah, dude, it's going to be kind of a mess enforcing this, I think. And I feel like as soon as a consequential game gets decided on one of these, I think it's going to be a mess.
It's annoying because as it is, there's a lot that defenders have to really think about in order to make a tackle. And now you're essentially taking away a technique away. And it's like, now you have to think, well, how do I approach taking this guy down? You know? And then there's like situations like where you get players like Derrick Henry, where you don't exactly have a choice. It's either that or you basically let him run you over.
Yeah, tight ends. I might have been Schefter or somebody noted that there's no way for the refs to practice this, like calling this, because it doesn't happen in practice. So, no. Like, they'll be looking out for it in the preseason, but probably not going to happen that much in the preseason. It just seems like it's going to be messy.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this. I think it's just going to piss everybody off, and hopefully there's a change of heart at some point, but the fact that it was passed unanimously is not a good sign of that.
Yeah. And the players didn't want it. So, like I said, they're the guys getting hurt. The coaches aren't getting hurt. I don't know. That was a crazy one. Did they change something about replays too?
Yes. So, basically with replays, you don't necessarily need to get two instant replays correctly to get a third one. You just need one of the two to get a third one. But if you miss them both, you don't. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is a good move, especially with the whole controversies with the referees lately. And, yeah, I think that benefits the sport quite a bit. But absolutely hate the fucking tackle thing.
Yeah, that one's crazy. They made some more plays reviewable, it looks like. The replay assistant can overturn objectively incorrect intentional grounding and roughing the passer calls, which is nice. They can review plays when there's clear evidence that the game clock expired before a snap. And they can rule passer down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass is reviewable. Dude, just make everything reviewable. I don't get it. You should be able to challenge any single thing you want in any sport, is how I feel about it. But you only get three of them, you know? Like, you should be able to challenge any single call. I don't know why there's, like, rules on what you can and can't challenge. You get three challenges. You should be able to challenge whatever you want.
I want to challenge that hip tackle.
You should be able to. I just, like, they have the rule with the pass interference thing, and then you can't challenge anymore. Like, you should be able to challenge whatever the fuck you want, is how I feel. Because you have to use your challenges wisely, you know? That's it. That's how I stand on challenges. We have enough technology to make this shit work. All right, well, man, I don't know if we have anything else.
No, I think for now, until we get some other news, which might not be until the draft, I think this is it.
I think draft talk will start next week. I think we could start getting into it.
The best time of the year.
Amen, brother. All right. Thank y'all for listening. See you guys soon. Follow us on Twitter at C Ribeiro, at Talk Rams, at Johnny506. We'll be back next week or sooner if another player retires. Farewell.